Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here with you today. It's we dig a little bit into the Word of God. We're going to be in Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 through 10. Before we go there, I'll talk a little bit about last time I got to preach in August there. Talk about that. We shall not be ashamed. Four things that we should not be ashamed of in our walk. And today, as we walk here on earth, we should not be ashamed of my Savior, should not be ashamed of my scriptures, should not be ashamed of my service, should not be ashamed of my speech. And so, critical things there as we study those to see that, the world is trying to make us to, what they call it, cancel us, shut us off, quit talking about it, don't worry about it, whatever, but in the end, we do have to give an answer for our walk, and we should not be ashamed. Today, I've titled this message in Hosea chapter 4, entitled it, Glory or Shame, Both Earned, One Received. Before we get into the passage here in Hosea 4, I wanted to go to a couple intro verses. One would be Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4. Introductory verse. Keep in mind that we are in the Old Testament. We go in our passage here. We're in Hosea. A long time ago, written a long time ago, written to the nation of Israel. A long time ago. But what does Romans 15:4 tell us here? It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Those things written all those years ago in that Old Testament for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Keep hope in mind. Keep that word hope in mind as we go through this message, because we might have hope. That's a key thing. And we're going to learn something today from going through Hosea and be able to apply it to our life now. Another key one is, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Today we're in the gospel of grace time frame, and it's salvation through faith alone, nothing else. It tells us that in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Let's read that. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It is total gift, and it's by grace alone through faith. Nothing we can do. Now, let's focus on verse 10. What's 10 say? Right after verse 9 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them." The key thing is we should. That's our choice. So, title of the message, Glory or Shame, Both Earned, One Received. We should walk in the good works. We're going to see what that leads to, what that means to us today. Now, a final introductory verse I want to go to that's really, really tells it like it is for us in the coming judgment for us. It's Colossians 3, 23-25. Colossians 3, starting in verse 23. This is Paul writing to the Colossians. And he says, "And whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Two things that we have the opportunity to receive here. Receive the reward of the inheritance. Received for the wrong which we have done. Glory or shame, both earned, one received. We're going to receive one to the other. Receive for the wrong, we're going to receive the inheritance. So, as we turn back to the passage in Hosea chapter 4, we'll start reading that, read through that, and kind of keeping all this in mind. See what we can learn from this that we can apply to us today, what it means. We'll start at Hosea chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, "Hear, the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways, and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough, and they shall commit whoredom, and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this day. As we read your passage here in Hosea, help us to see the truth that applies to us today, Lord, in the simplest terms, Lord. Just get me out of the way and let your truth shine through, Lord, that we may understand your word a little better, that we can go forth, that we can apply it to our life, that one day we can receive the glory that awaits us if we choose, Lord. And just thank you and praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you can see on the outline there, break it down in four different categories there. Verses 1 through 5, the Lord has a controversy. He has a controversy, and it's with his people, you know. He has, in verse 6, the cause of this controversy is outlined there, and it's both the people and the priests, they rejected knowledge of God. Verses 6 through 10, there's a consequence of this controversy, and it's punishment or it's praise. In verse 10, there's a cure for this controversy, and it's from the promise of the word. So we dig into this. Let's see what God can show us here. We see the controversy. Verses, starting in verse 1, Hosea 4, hear the word of the Lord. That's a pretty powerful statement right there, beginning with. That's bottom line of controversy. They're not hearing the word, you know. They're not hearing the word. It says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. For there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. He had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. This is a big, big thing to God, because the land is a very major thing for the nation of Israel. He was not happy with them. The people inhabiting the land that God had given them were not happy. And why was he not happy? Well, it starts off with, because there is no truth. What's John 14:6 say? Let's turn to that real quick. John 14:6. There is no truth in the land. This is Jesus talking. He says in John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In essence, Jesus wasn't in the land. He wasn't there. God wasn't there with him, see. But we know from John 17:17, just a page or two over, what truth is defined as in the word here. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is the word, and the word was not there. There was no truth in the land. Do we have that problem today? There's a controversy. There was a controversy then. There's a controversy today. No truth. The second thing we see in verse 1, there's no truth nor mercy. Nor mercy, you might think. Yeah, we got Mercy Hospital over there, you know. We got mercy around here. Like, do we really? We're talking about God's mercy here. What is definition of mercy as we know it. It's basically that we, with God, mercy is not receiving the things which we deserve. Grace is mercy, is receiving that which I do not deserve. But in this specific case, we're talking directly about mercy, is not receiving that which I deserve. So there was no mercy in the land. You think about that. What's that mean? The people had no mercy. That means when somebody wronged them, they took it in their own hands and dealt with it. You know, violence. Went back to the violence. Do we have any violence in the land today? In our land today? Yes, we do. There was no mercy, no forgiveness of people. People couldn't get along, whatever. Not a good thing at all. With no mercy. Now, let's look at this, Romans 12, on mercy. Let's look at Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 17. We'll see what Paul says to the Romans. In Romans 12, starting in verse 17, he says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." If it be possible, live peaceably with all men. That is mercy. If somebody wrongs you, you have mercy on them, you understand them, you forgive them, talk about it, you know, get it passed. No mercy in the land. Now you got violence, you got a lot of hatred, strife, envying, a lot of stuff, not good. They had it, Nation of Israel had it here, causing a controversy. I'd say we have it today. Not good. So, bottom line, when you're wanting to take vengeance, not allowing the Lord to repay the folks, what is that going on in an individual's heart? I think of Galatians 5, chapter 22, we see the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." There's no mercy in the land. There's no Holy Spirit functioning in each of us, in our hearts. There's no Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to have mercy on folks. God has mercy on us. We should have mercy on folks too. So, Holy Spirit not functioning, no mercy in the land. Pretty evident that's happening today. Back to the passage, Hosea. The final, third thing in verse 1 here is, "There was no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." Nor knowledge of God in the land. Knowing God. Knowledge is knowing God. How do we know God? We know Him through His Word. Get to know Him better with that personal relationship with Him through His Word. We get to know Him better. We have knowledge of Him from the Word of God. There's no knowledge of God. What happens? Let's see what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1. What happens? There's no knowledge of God. Romans chapter 1, we'll start in verse 21. Romans 1 and verse 21 says this, "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but become vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing them to be wise, they became fools." They knew God. Just like this country, we knew God. This country was founded on Christian principles. Look where we're at today. What happened here in Romans, Paul's talking to them, is they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Don't give God the glory. Don't be thankful for what God has done. Very evident that's what today's going on, just as it was going on in Hosea here. And what happened? Became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Is there any vain imaginations going on today? You know, basically whatever you can imagine, that's what you are. You know, you can imagine whatever you want to be, and that's what you are, that's what you, whatever, you know. Very, very sad. Vain in imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Says it pretty bluntly right there. Wise in their own eyes. So, continue on in this passage in Romans and look at verse 28 as God outlines all the sins they're into. Sins we're into today. Not good. And he says in verse 28, said, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Remember that? We're talking about no knowledge in the land. They did not retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God gave them over. He's given us over. This country over. This world over. He's given us over to a reprobate mind. And what does reprobate mean? Biblically speaking, it means mind void of judgment. Our mind is void of judgment. Could care less about what is right, what is wrong, and what awaits at our judgment with God. Could care less. Void of judgment. And the final point I want to make while we're in this passage is that he's outlined all these sins, sins of the flesh, terrible things, and go down through here. We'll conclude in verse 32. Romans 1:32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Is that pushed today? Hey, I'm doing these things, and you need to take pleasure in them too, and be proud of them, and agree with all this. A bad place to be. It's a bad place to be. Who knowing the judgment of God, see? What's a reprobate mind? You're void of judgment. But we know the judgment of God. Even if we don't want to acknowledge that judgment's coming, judgment is coming. It's the truth that is coming from the Word. So, we see in verse 1 from Hosea 4, the three things. No truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Three things. If you look real close, as I was speaking through those, talking about those things, it kind of devotionally lines up with the Trinity. The first one is truth, that's the Lord Jesus. Second one is no mercy, the Holy Spirit not functioning. Third one is no knowledge of God, that's God Himself. The Trinity is not there. The thing is, when you remove one, you remove them all. You got to have them all functioning. You got to have the Word of God, the Lord Jesus. Your life functions. You got to have the Holy Spirit. And you got to have God. So that's a little thing there that stood out like that. It's pretty cool. God has been kicked out of the land, and He's kicked out of the land for us today. And it's on us to not allow that to happen. Don't kick it out of our individual heart, even though the land has rejected Him, the world has rejected Him. As we continue on, Hosea 4, we look at verse 2. And what do we see here? We see works of the flesh. We see by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Beginning the works of the flesh, Paul warns about that in a couple of places. Let's go to one of them. Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19-21, the works of the flesh, and Paul's warning here says, now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in the works of the flesh here. The warning is, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What's the name of my title today? Glory or shame? Both earned, one received. Here's the warning from Paul. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What do we say in the intro verse from Colossians 3? You're going to receive the reward of the inheritance, or you're going to receive for the wrong. at our judgment. Very important to understand that. And glory either awaits us or it doesn't. We inherit the glory or we don't. As we continue on, I'll explain that more. Another passage that this is found is 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. We won't turn there, but it says almost the same thing. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're into those works of the flesh. So, we're still dealing with this controversy that God has with the nation of Israel, that He has with us today. We see, back to the passage in Hosea 4, we see in verse 3, it says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. We won't turn there, but we can see the same type of thing going on in Romans 8:19-22, the whole creation groaneth, and is in the bondage of corruption from the sin of the world. That's shown that in Romans 8:19-22. Same type of thing going on. The creation is in bondage right now because of the sin of this world, and it's waiting for the Savior to return. As we look now in verse 4 in Hosea, it says, yeah, that no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Stood out to me in this verse is the word strive. It's mentioned twice. Strive. What's that mean? Do we have that going on today? We have strife and divisions going on today. 1 Corinthians, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3:3. See this passage. What's that mean with strife? 1 Corinthians 3:3. Paul is telling the Corinthians here. He says, let's start in verse 1. Let's start in verse 1, 3, 1. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Remember, in Hosea, we're talking about the nation of Israel. That's God's people. Paul in Corinthians, talking to saved believers in Corinth, God's people. What's going on? Carnality. Not into the Word of God, the knowledge of God, knowing God, His truth. Not into mercy. Carnal. And so, there's a lot of strife, division. What's going on when that's happening? We're walking as men. We're walking in our flesh. We know that in our flesh, no good thing is there. So, the controversy that God has, we're walking as men, not as spiritual as God would have us to walk. As we turn back to Hosea, we'll look at the next verse in verse 5 and continue on the final thing here in the controversy. We see the outcome or the consequence of what happened in this controversy. It says, therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. Because of the controversy, no truth, no mercy, no knowledge of God, there is the consequence of destruction and falling. Forgotten. I'm going to continue this point in a little bit, in my third point here. We'll go into it more in depth, but that is the consequences being there's destruction, there's rejection, there's forgotten. So keep that in mind as we go on here. We talk about the second point in the passage here is the cause. God has a controversy with the people, just as they had a controversy with us today. What is the cause of it? Verse 6 tells us, that says, my people are destroyed. There's that consequence, destruction. For what? For lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Now shall be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. The cause is the priest and the people are rejecting the knowledge of God. Remember, that was the controversy. No knowledge of God, no truth, no mercy. Rejecting the knowledge of God, forgetting the word of God. As we go into this a little deeper, let's keep in mind some things here. We're talking to the nation of Israel. We're in Hosea 4, we're talking to the nation of Israel. We're dealing with priests. Now, priests, there's a key thing to remember in that for us, is what? Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, in this dispensation of grace, does not mention the word priest one time. It's no mention of it. When we see the word priest, that is definitely talking about the nation of Israel. Just as we know, Peter, James, and John, they talk about priests, but they never talk about the body of Christ like Paul does. So, Paul talks about the body of Christ, not priests. Peter, James, and John talk about priests and not the body of Christ. So, key thing to keep that in mind. So we're going to see here, inspirationally, devotionally, what this means to us when we talk about this priest. A priest, and this is a picture, it's a devotional application of a pastor of today. The priests were rejecting the knowledge of God then. The pastors of today, in many cases, are rejecting the knowledge of God. And this is what it leads to. Let's turn to Acts chapter 20 and see an example. Acts chapter 20. The cause of this controversy, the priest or the pastors rejecting the knowledge of God. Acts chapter 20, we'll start at verse 27. This is Paul talking to the elders of Ephesus as he's getting ready to go to Rome. This is what he's called the elders of Ephesus together, and he's given them this message. And he says, verse 27, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Paul has given the elders of Ephesus, he's given them, hey, this commission, this command is like, notice in verse 28, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, to feed the church." It's interesting that two words, "take heed." We're going to have, at the end, we're going to see some more of that, what we need to take heed to. But Paul is telling the elders, the pastors, take heed to yourselves, to all the flock, to feed the church of God, because that is very, very critical and important. God has a controversy if you don't feed the flock, if you don't feed them the knowledge of God. As we see in verse 30, you see that people come in and draw away disciples after them. You get false doctrine, false things going on. Do we have any of that today? Yes, we do. Doctrine, the Word of God, is kicked out, and that's why God has controversy today. In verse 31, here's a very key thing that we need to do as well. It says, "Therefore watch and remember." Watch and remember. Watch for things that are happening, what's going on. Be alert and remember the Word of God that I've taught you. Do not forget that. And then Paul says, "But by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Warn, key word, warn. There's danger in that when you get away from watching and remembering the word. And then verse 32 says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God." He's given them to God, just like today. We're commended to God through his word. And he's commended them and to the word of his grace. commended to the word of his grace, the gospel of grace that God gave Paul, given to us, which is able to what? Build you up, very key, build you up, and to give you inheritance among them which are sanctified. It's able to do that. It's our choice. We won't allow it to do that. Remember, we're going to receive the inheritance, or we're going to receive for the wrong. We're going to receive glory, or we're going to receive shame. So, very key thing we see from Hosea, the pastor's not proclaiming the word, preaching the word, feeding the flock. Very key thing. Now, let's take the next step. Remember I talked about today's time, there are no priests. 1 Timothy 2:5. There are no priests in the body of Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us that. What does 1 Timothy 2:5 say? As I get there, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So, devotionally speaking, we see from Hosea, the priests weren't proclaiming the word. There are no priests today. That means the people of today. Lines up right with us. People of today are not proclaiming the word. We have no priests today. It's us that's supposed to be proclaiming the word. What's our vision for the year? In this church, this year for us, our vision is 2 Timothy 4. Let's turn to that. 2 Timothy 4 right here, close. We see from this passage that we're not supposed to reject knowledge either. Proclaim the word, don't reject the knowledge of God here. 2 Timothy 4, starting verse 1, it says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Judgment's coming. It says what? Verse 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." All that false doctrine, all that stuff that rejects the knowledge of God. And it says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth." Remember the controversy? No truth. "And shall be turned unto fables," whatever made up thing man has, fables. And then verse 5, "But watch thou in all things." There we go, watch again. "Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." This is command. Watch in all things, endure afflictions. There's persecutions coming, as we're going to see here in a little bit. Do the work of the evangelist. Hey, we are created unto good works. Ephesians 2:10. Make full proof of thy ministry. Huh. We have a ministry to do. Don't reject God. Don't forget his word. That's the cause of this controversy. It's on us. Not the pastors only. It's on us. Each individual believer in Christ, it's on us to not reject knowledge, to give his word out, to proclaim his word, to show people our lives that this world may see that there's an option. There's judgment coming. We have an option. Are we going to receive glory, or are we going to receive shame? So that is the cause. Rejecting knowledge, both the pastors and the people. Both the priests and the people in Hosea, the pastors and the people today. Don't let it be on us. As we turn back and go into third point in Hosea, we're going to look into this consequence that I mentioned, and we see, we can start back in verse 5 and see what it is here. It says, "Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy murderers." There's some destruction coming here. Verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. because I was rejecting knowledge. I will also reject thee. So you got destruction, you got rejection. That thou should be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I also forget thy children. Everybody's forgotten when the knowledge of God is rejected. That consequence is not a good thing. Can you imagine that? That consequence at this time, God saying to the nation of Israel, I will destroy you, I will reject you. Now we have to ask ourselves, does he say that to us today? Things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. The answer is yes, he does say it to us today. We're going to study that. This is the crux of the message right here. We're going to do our best to lay this out to show that yes, this can happen to us today. This destruction, this rejection is forgotten. The Bible calls it being cut off in one regard. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. This is Paul talking to Romans. He's talking to them about the nation of Israel and the body of Christ here. As we pick this up, we'll start in verse 20. It says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. That's the nation of Israel. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Paul giving the warning to the Romans, believers in Christ. Therefore, us today, verse 21, for if God spared not the natural branches, notice here, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, here's a key word, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. Rejected. Cut off. Rejected. Forgotten. Destroyed. Yes, it is possible for us to have the same consequence. Glory or shame. Both earned. One received. Now, let's go back to verse 7 of Hosea. We see here, as it continue on, we see this after destruction, it says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore, will I change their glory into shame. God give him the warning to the priests, to the people here, because they've increased in their sin. Therefore, will I change their glory into shame. Things written aforetime were written for our learning. What are we going to learn from this? We already see that we can be cut off. Our glory can be turned into shame. Let's dig into this pretty deep right here now. Our glory can be turned into shame. Keep it in mind, we're in the gospel of grace. We're saved by grace through faith alone. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, Romans 10:9. Grace through faith alone. That's it. Belief, mouth confession, heart belief. That's on us. Our choice to be saved between us and God. When that happens, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and read what one thing that says there. Many places it's saying, but we're going to a couple. It says Ephesians 4:30. Says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Once we accept the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes inside us, and we are sealed to the day we are redeemed, till we are with the Lord. Sealed. There's not a crack in it. It's not going anywhere. We are saved for all of eternity if you accept the Lord. Now, let's look at another example here in Ephesians 1 and 13. Ephesians 1:13, it says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. See that? Sealed. There is not a crack in it. It is not going anywhere. We are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, here's where we get into the crux of this as we study this out. Changing our glory and the shame, we have two options here. We're going to start to see this, and it's our choice as we go. Ephesians 1:14, talking about verse 13, the seal of the Holy Spirit promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Notice that word, our inheritance. Our inheritance. If you're saved, that's our inheritance. It's not going anywhere until the redemption, the purchased possession, until we go meet God. It's our inheritance, not going anywhere, and it's sealed. Verse 15, as we carry on here. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention you in my prayers. Paul is praying for the next part that follows. Therefore, it is not a guarantee. It is different than our inheritance. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention you in my prayers. Paul's praying for it. It's conditional, not guaranteed. It says in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Isn't that interesting? What are we talking about? The controversy? No knowledge. Rejecting the knowledge. This is Paul praying. He says, hey, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know, not guaranteed, may know, what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Hope of His calling, riches of the glory. Keep those words in mind as we continue on, but look here at the very last part of this, verse 18. Riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. That is different than verse 14 where it says our inheritance. Paul's praying for it. It is not guaranteed. It is conditional. It is our choice, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, that ye may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of Him. It's our choice to dig into this, to be a part of those good works that talk about Ephesians 2:10. His inheritance is different than our inheritance. You got two inheritances, in other words, potential. But our inheritance is guaranteed. His inheritance is not. And that's what we're talking about, glory or shame. Both earned, one received. As we continue on studying this out, keep in mind these words, hope and glory and calling, as we look at these passages. We'll go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It says this in Romans chapter 8, 16 to 18. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Guaranteed deal here. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. If we are the children of God, we accept Him as the Lord, we are an heir of God. We have our inheritance. We have an heir. We are an heir of God. And then notice in 17, and joint heirs with Christ. And there's the word, if. That conditional thing Paul is praying for, it says, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. There's that word, glorified. Glory. So, we see it's a conditional deal that we have to suffer with Him to receive what? Verse 18, for I reckon that the servants of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. To receive the conditional joint heir, to receive that conditional, that second inheritance, as Ephesians 1 told us, was His inheritance, not ours, His inheritance. We must suffer with Him. Remember, we're talking about the consequences. The consequences of this controversy. The consequences that we all will face. Either destruction or receiving this glory. We do not want our glory changed into shame. We should not want it. Each believer of today should not want that. We have the option to not go there. as we continue on studying this, remember the joint heirs, if so be that we suffer with him. Keep that in mind as we look at our next passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thess 2. And we will look at starting in verse 13. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God, always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." There's the salvation. He chose to do that. We have it. And it says, verse 14, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's that two words again, calling and glory. Not guaranteed. We've been called to this, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we have this calling. Those that are born again, believers in Christ, Romans 10:9, Ephesians 2:8-9, salvation, we have this calling to be called to obtaining the glory. Glory or shame. It's our choice. We're called to this glory. So, we see, let's continue on. We look at this in more in depth. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Starting in verse 10, this is Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, "Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Conditional deal there, that may obtain the salvation. Our salvation is guaranteed. This with eternal glory is not. So here we go as we read, continue reading. May obtain it. It says, verse 11, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." Guaranteed deal. If you accept the Lord, you are going to be with him. You're going to have our inheritance. Key verse here in verse 12, it says, 2 Timothy 2:12, says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." What Romans 8:16-17 say? If we suffer, we'll be a joint heir. If we suffer. Here it is. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. It is a guaranteed deal. If we even stop believing the Word of God, we fall into this deal of today's time, this controversy. We reject the knowledge of God. We reject his truth, his mercy. We still, if we stop believing all that, get completely out of the will of God, we're still going to heaven in this gospel of grace that we're in. Big deal to understand this distinction, because verse 12 tells us, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. There it is. Deny. Deny destruction, rejection. Deny the ability to reign with him. Deny receiving that eternal glory that he wants for us to have. As we continue on, verse 14. "Of these things, put them in remembrance." There's that remembrance again. Watch and remember. "Charging them that before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Don't be arguing and debating and all that. The strife again. No, stay out of that. That's carnal stuff. But what's 15 say? "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." As we read that, it's very easy to think, hey, I need to study now as I'm walking here on earth, so I am not ashamed of God, so I'm not ashamed to speak the truth of the word, so I'm not afraid to stand on the word of God and all that God has given us and shown us. That is very true. In this context, though, that we just went through, what are we talking about? We just left. We just talked about it. The two inheritance, the salvation with eternal glory, that second inheritance, the conditional side. If we suffer, we shall reign. If we deny him, he also will deny us. We're in that context. We're just right here a couple verses after that. "Study to show thyself approved unto God. When do we get to show ourselves approved unto God? At our judgment that is coming. We'll talk some more about that. The judgment seat of Christ is coming. Then a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Approved unto God at our judgment. Glory or shame. Both earned, one received. That's what awaits for us if we choose to follow the world, to get out of the truth and mercy and knowledge of God. If we choose to follow our flesh, that's what awaits, that destruction, that rejection. Do not. Let's pray that we do not go there. Let's open our eyes. Let's open our hearts. Let's continue to study the Word and be a workman that needs not to be ashamed at judgment seat of Christ. Final passage as we look into this is Romans 5. Romans 5. Romans 5, starting in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hope maketh not ashamed. The hope of glory, the calling to that, hope maketh not ashamed. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Right, dividing the word of truth. I mean, it all lines up, and you see that, hey, shame awaits for us. Spiritually speaking, shame awaits if we choose to not follow God now after we are saved. Let's don't go there. Let's stay in His truth and His mercy and His knowledge and continue on for Him. So, as we go back to Hosea, we see that Paul says, or in Hosea, Hosea is telling them, through God, he's telling the nation of Israel, it's like, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. I hope we can see a little better picture for us, devotionally speaking, for us. Like, hey, this applies to us. Don't want our glory changed into shame. Verse 8, that eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. Remember I read in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, what it said, took pleasure in them, they're worthy of death. Don't be taking pleasure in the sin of this world. Don't go there. Their heart set on iniquity? No, let's don't go there. Verse 9, as we continue on, it says, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. Remember what Colossians 3 said? Receive for the reward of inheritance or receive for the wrong. There is no respecter of persons. This passage says, like people, like priests, there is no respecter of persons. Today, like pastors, like people, there is no respecter of persons. Punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. Wow. Judgment seat awaits us, as I mentioned a few times already. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us that. We know that it says, real quick, it says, 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Receive for the good, receive the reward of inheritance, or receive for the wrong, good or bad. It's coming. Judgment seat is coming for us. Now, let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 3. That we see more conclusive look at this reward. What's happening? The glory or shame. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 14, says, if any man's work abide, he hath built thereupon. He shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss. but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There it is. Receive reward or suffer loss, glory or shame. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelt in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. There it is. Destroy. You think we can't be destroyed right there at the judgment seat? We can be. That destruction, that rejection, not a good thing. Not a good thing. As we continue on, seeing in verse 10 here in Hosea 4, verse 10, about to wind this up. For they shall eat and not have enough. For they commit whoredom, and they shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. So, eat and not have enough sounds like this age we're in right now, this information age. Can anybody be denied information? All you do is click your mouse, click your phone, whatever. You can get any bit of info you want. The Bible in 2 Timothy 3 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Don't be like that. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That's the controversy. Remember, rejecting the knowledge. This age is so easy to get out of the knowledge of God. Bad deal. We see also in verse 10 here, for they shall eat and not have enough, they shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. And just right over here in Hosea 5, verse 4, Hosea 5, verse 4 says, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their gods, for the spirit of whoredom is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. There it is, the spirit of whoredom, bad deal, not knowing the Lord, not knowing the Word. As we get into the final point, we get into, that was all the consequences, now we're going to see what the cure is. And we see that it is what in verse 10, of Hosea 4, verse 10, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. If they hadn't left off, taking heed to the Lord, we wouldn't have this controversy. Same with us. Don't leave off taking heed to the Lord. So we need to take heed to His Word. We need to take heed to the promises of His Word. Very, very key thing. And we were already there. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Left off taking heed. 1 Corinthians 3. Judge the seat of Christ context. This is Paul telling us in verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're building. We are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. There it is. Take heed. We are God's building. We're building on the foundation of the Lord Jesus. Every man, take heed how he buildeth thereupon. We already went over the rest of that. We see that you either receive a reward or suffer loss. Destruction potentially awaits. The loss of glory awaits. Glory or shame awaits. Take heed how we build thereupon. Another key thing in taking heed for us today is Colossians 4:17. Colossians 4:17. What do we need to take heed on? This is Paul talking to Colossians, and he says, and as he's winding this chapter down, he says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfillest. Take heed. Take heed to the ministry. This is God, through Paul, telling Archippus, take heed to the ministry. We need to scratch Archippus' name out and put our name there. If you do that, it takes on a whole different meaning. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. We've all received the ministry that thou fulfillest. What do you say in Hosea? Left off taking heed. Don't do that. Take heed to the ministry that we've been given. The final thing to take heed to, 1 Timothy 4:16. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed to thyself, to the doctrine. Just like Paul was telling the leaders of Ephesus there, the same thing. Take heed to the flock, feed them. Take heed to yourself and to the flock and feed them. For us, take heed to ourselves and into the doctrine, the gospel of grace that Paul's given us. Take heed to that. Continue in them. Don't stop. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Save thyself from what? The deception here, which leads to the consequence of what? If we get in deception, our consequence is going to be shame. So save us from receiving the shame. We can receive the glory that God wants us to have and has for us. Praise God for that. So, bottom line in all this, there's a controversy. There's no truth, mercy, or knowledge of God. The cause is rejecting the knowledge of God. The consequence is punishment or praise, receive the glory. But the cure is the promises of the Word. And it's on us to do what? To receive the glory that He has for us. It's on us. If we want to receive that, here's what we need to do. Know the Lord, right? Know the Lord. Take heed to His Word. Answer the call to glory. Or receive the shame. It is our choice. Totally our choice. No one is forcing us to do that. Just like God always does. He gives people a choice. It's our choice. Do we want to receive glory or shame? Because both are earned, but only one is received. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this day, this time, Lord, and your word that is pretty clear, very clear on what we need to do. Let's go forth now, take heed to your word, know you better, not reject your word and you, but stand fast in this world that we have in front of us, that one day we can receive the praise of your glory, to be able to rule and reign with you for all of eternity. I pray that we'd all make that decision, that we'd all continue on for you in that regard. So we just want to thank you and praise you now as we go forth. In Jesus' name, amen.